Hello again there, folks. I wanted to give some thoughts on the current state of the country and some of the discussion around demographics and the way things are going, which I haven't really seen people talk about very much. And I wanted to sort of toss it into the ring, toss a few ideas into the ring. It's specifically about how the online right, as we call it, or populism in Britain, nationalism, talk about demographics and how that correlates with the ongoing violence and carnage and general anxiety and sense of doom that we're seeing right now. And I think, I mean, for as long as I've been in this, there's been this huge discussion about the white British as they stand on the census, the native indigenous population being reduced to a minority. And there's different sort of calculations on when this would happen. I think the most famous one is 2066. And some people have whittled that down to 2050. If you go, you look at the statistics for under 18s, I think we're almost there already. And a lot of the projections on this were done before the Boris wave as well. So it's going to be sooner than 2066, I'll tell you that. And people can crunch the numbers on it. And it was always sort of framed as this deadline. We're up against the clock, because basically once we get to that sort of do tip over into the minority status, it's all over, or we're in big trouble and there's no coming back from that, and all of that kind of thing. I think, like, sort of psychologically and spiritually, it's been seen as this deadline of doom that we have to work against. The clock's always ticking on the demographics. I agree with that. I totally understand why. But looking back on what's happened over the last week, the last few weeks, this ongoing what I would just think of as abuse of the native population, particularly with dumping these illegal immigrants anywhere, the callousness of the government, and the mass sort of rapes and sexual abuse going on all over the place, and the absolute failure and unwillingness of the British state to do anything about it. And then, last week we saw a fella just stabbed to death by an Afghan immigrant walking his dog. Just these random acts of violence. And then we had this this business with the train at the weekend where 10 people are attacked. And next week, this time next week, there'll be more carnage, more misery, more bloodshed. And what I was thinking is that this is everybody's talking about this. People are calling for, like, a state of emergency to be declared. In the Telegraph, there was an article, I think. And the general sort of consensus is that we just can't go on like this. And it's been like this for a few years now. Obviously, the ongoing sort of misery of mass immigration has been going on for a long time. But in the last few years, you think of Southport last year, and you think these ongoing, almost like daily horrors that you read. The Rihanna White, like, stabbed to death with a screwdriver. And some of the stuff you read now is just, it just beggars belief. And what I was thinking is that when you come back to the sort of the demographic sort of projections, like, I've got a feeling that I question whether or not there will even be a British state by the time we get there, because it seems like we lurch week by week from crisis to crisis. I wrote an article on Substack recently all about how all of the conversation now is about, in one way or another, related to multiculturalism. Even if you're a liberal, even if you're like this screaming lefty libtard, you have to actually defend it. You are in a way that you have to find a way to frame all of the savagery and barbarism which is taking place now. And of course, if you're on the right, you're going to have to find, I mean, it gets tedious because it's like the same arguments over and over and over again. But the point here is that, like a sort of black hole, it has this gravitational pull where everything about society, all of the mental energy, all of the political energy is all pulled in towards the issue of mass immigration and multiculturalism, whatever side of it you're actually on. And what I thought was, looking ahead, is that if we go back to the standard sort of discourse on the becoming a minority in the country, this assumes that the current situation, the current setup is going to actually just last for, even if we bring it forward to 2045. And we're looking at another two whole decades, another 20 years of this situation. And it's actually worse than that, because as the numbers tip more and more and more against the native population, you find that this is only going to increase. This sort of daily goal, this daily sort of barbarism, is only actually going to increase exponentially over time, just because of the numbers involved. And so this the discussion on sort of demographics and becoming a minority has to be framed against this. It has to be, in a way, recontextualized, that we've that the, it isn't just that the institutions and government are going to remain absolutely the same up until, say 2050 or 2066, or if you want to bring it forward a bit to 2045, even, that everything is going to kind of keep ticking over, that the frogs are just going to not be boiled slowly at all. What's actually happening is that I just don't see how the state can actually limp on for another two decades under these circumstances. Because we see the just straightforward legitimacy is hemorrhaging now from the institutions and from the political process. We see the rise of reform, whatever you say about that. They've got this insane amount of support behind them. Whether or not they'll do anything is a different thing, because you can see that maybe it is a containment mechanism against what I'm saying here, which is that if I look ahead in 20 years, and sort of using the current state, the benchmark, I think we are going to reach the point where we are a failed state before we become a minority. And this means that I've got to kind of define what a failed state actually is. I want to make clear, I'm not actually endorsing or suggesting there's going to be a civil war. I know there's a conversation going on about how this is going to play out, and how logistics of it and all the rest of it. I disagree with that, because you need a political organization and secretive political organization, and we exist in a surveillance state, which is just going to hamper that straight away. But what I do think is going to happen is that and you can see this already, there was a suggestion that people will have to use their digital IDs, and the train stations will become like airports. So the fallback position of the regime is to create a kind of digitized surveillance state, or even more so than what they already have done. But let me sort of go through a few of these key characteristics of a failed state, and I'll circle back around to that in a moment. So if you think of loss of territorial control, the central government lacks the ability to enforce its laws and authority over its entire territory and borders. Well, this is seems to be the case, and but you could probably place the blame for that at like sort of external institutions, but I would play it. I mean, I would blame the government for that, to be honest. But you can see that within Britain, there is territory which is slipping away from the control of the government, because they don't want to, say, rile up Muslim populations or something like that. So they're ceding sovereignty in certain areas that over time would take a massive amount of resources and will to get it back under control. Failure to provide basic services. The state cannot provide essential services like security, healthcare, education, or infrastructure maintenance. That's already here. And it's only going to get worse. Remember, the timeline that we're talking about here is quite long. In an era of the news cycle being kind of 12 hours long, and these events which happened just last week seem like ancient history, in this context, like 2 decades or so is a massive amount of time. I'm not saying this is going to happen tomorrow or next week. The sort of the deadline date, if you want to take the standard one of 2066, which I think is way too positive. If you want to take, say, 2050, that's the kind of time horizons we're talking about in terms of the demographic tip to minority status. But you can see that the characteristics of what constitutes a failed state are already very apparent. Political instability and conflict, internal conflict, civil unrest and civil war are common. Again, I'm not going to get into the civil war stuff. That's a different thing. Non-state actors such as terrorist organizations may gain influence. Foreign groups operating organized within foreign populations that have come here. Widespread corruption. Corrupt practices often flourish in the absence of strong institutions and rule of law. I mean, I would say the government's the most corrupt institution in the place, but what you're going to see is more of a black market happening, more tax revenue. And in fact, that's another one of the aspects to this. But it says also citizens may face famine, displacement, and a lack of fundamental rights. I think I did miss that one out, actually. But the displacement is already upon us. That's white flight. Whether internally or externally, we've seen, for example, that they're now placing these asylum seekers, these immigrants, in Inverness, which, you could think, and usually you would think, like sort of the outer reaches of Scotland or some quiet place somewhere, that's where we can go to get away from it. We can white flight ourselves away to some quiet corner of the British Isles. Increasingly difficult to do, so everybody is getting dragged into this frame. And then you've got people who are just going to try and up. And I know quite a few. Another thing that I want to point out here is that this isn't just a sort of echo chamber, zitter take. I mean, I speak to people in the real world. I've got friends, I've got family. They're speaking about these things which they never would have spoke about just like say 5 years ago or 10 years ago. In fact, I know but like lots of people in the real world who are saying they're trying to get out of the country now because of this. And these are all the people who used to call me racist 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And the one there that I skipped over, the one about the government is unable to collect taxes or manage its economy effectively. So what you'll see here is that, again, you're going to have this colossal black market. The off-ramp, to come back to what I mentioned earlier about the digital IDs and the digital surveillance system, this seems to me the fallback plan that I think the government, and people are saying all of this has been done on purpose to, cause reaction, solution, and all of this, to bring that in. That could be the case. I'm not so sure about the random violence, whether they want that or not, to bring it in. But the point is, I don't think it'll work anyway. If you have a look at what happened on the train, or if you have a look under the kind of the sexual abuse of these men loitering around schools, going after teenage girls, or the fella who was walking his dog, he gets stabbed to death by an immigrant. Digital ID is not going to stop any of that. The social credit system is not going to solve any of that. They can do that. The point is, I'm not saying that they can bring that stuff in. I just don't think it's going to stop the problems they've created. And in fact, in terms of the sort of a black market economy and people organizing out of sight, I think the sort of the social credit digital ID surveillance gulag that they're creating, it'll work. It'll have outcomes that they don't actually expect because people will become used to be going sort of dark as far as being popping up as an algorithm, being tracked and monitored all of the time. People will find ways around that, and once you are doing that, you may get comfortable with other things. One of them will be just straightforward. How are you going to actually trade? If everything is now digital, there's still going to be people wanting to trade, buy things and sell things illegally off the system. So this kind of thing will flourish, whether or not they bring in the digital surveillance gulag. Especially if they do. It creates a perverse incentive like that. But this is all to say that when we're talking about the kind of the future projections of demographics. I think we should question this idea, this sort of assumption that we're just going to kind of keep ticking over all the way to, everyone's going to be asleep and everything's going to be sort of, and then one day we wake up and like we're an ethnic minority. I think we have to be prepared for a steady erosion and collapse of the state, but it'll be nasty. And this needs to enter into the factors of when we're talking about changing demographics, we can correspond that to the state gradually failing and becoming more unhinged, sometimes draconian, sometimes retarded, sometimes overbearing, which it already is, and other times, and a lot of the time, it just will not be there at all when you need it. So we see this gradual sort of collapse of what we think of as civil society into something else, which could well happen before we even become an actual ethnic minority, which should be brought into the people's calculations on this subject. Just some thoughts on the issue there, folks. So look, it's getting spicy, so again, get yourself a network in the real world. Make sure you can take care of yourselves and you've got the basics. And I'll catch you later.